Very welcome back to Soccer Cards United for episode 181 of the world's greatest soccer card podcast. Today we are live from my back garden. I'm Jason, that's Enzo. Hi Enzo.
Hello Jason. I'm looking at these show notes, it's unbelievable.
The level of detail.
Yeah, unbelievable detail.
Part of the reason I thought to do this was that I saw a memory on Instagram of us doing our first podcast in person in 2021.
Yes.
So from Christmas 2020, I think this timeline is right. From Christmas 2020 to May or June, mm-hmm. 2021, we didn't do a podcast in person.
All Zoom. Wow.
And then the first one we did was in the back garden of the old house.
Yeah. And this wasn't in the pergola. This was in just out.
This is pre-pergola.
Yeah, I remember this.
And this is also pre-video.
Wow.
So people didn't see this.
They didn't even see that we were outdoors.
No. I mean, they saw a photo, but they didn't see. It was our first. Anyway, the thing about doing podcasts in that old garden was that it was a very big garden. And so there was no fear of being overheard.
Ah. I see where you're going.
And here, these houses are much closer together. So I'm...
You're very shy.
I'm very shy.
Sorry, man.
My neighbours are going to know...
Too much.
Anyway. So, we're back from Frankfurt.
Yeah, and it's beautiful weather here in Dublin.
Yeah, it's about like 25 degrees at least.
I can't get over. I'm catching a tan.
Yeah.
What's like this in Frankfurt?
No, we had... Let's...
Let's track back.
I feel a bit all over the place, right? First of all, how is everybody?
How are you, Jason? Long time no see.
Yeah, I'm good. I've had a good 8 hours since you last saw me, or whatever that was.
Good, because I was there, just good.
No, it was good. If you'd been there, it would have been good as well.
Okay.
Maybe even better.
Even better?
Maybe it would have been.
Wow.
We're just...
We're back from another show.
Yes, we were just in Frankfurt for the German card show.
Yes.
So that, let's start there.
Yes.
On Friday, we flew very early in the morning to Frankfurt from Dublin.
We didn't just get there without a branded piece of content.
No, we flew with Aer Lingus.
We flew with Aer Lingus.
Yes. Aer Lingus, the official sponsor, hopefully.
Someday
of Soccer Cards United.
Wow. What a thrill that will be.
And we told people before we went that we had booked ourselves these fancy seats at the front of the plane.
They were very nice.
Very nice. However, they were doing some renovation work on some of the detectors at security. So our fast track security
was slow.
Was slow track.
And they put us at such a far away gate, we couldn't take advantage of these lounge passes that we had. So we still had no experience with the lounges.
Yeah.
What a disaster that is.
Actually, I have a bone to pick with Dublin Airport.
Yeah, talk to him.
So if you're going to Dublin Airport, anyone who's flown in and out of Dublin will notice, it's Terminal 1 and Terminal 2. Right, but there are also these other terminals called the South Terminals.
Mm.
And they are terminals you can only access via bus from the main. So depending on where we were flying out.
Little terminal buses.
Yeah, terminal buses from shuttle bus from Terminal 2 to the South Terminal. And that's fine if that's like one in every 15 flights flies out of there. But a lot of flights fly out of there.
Yeah, they do a lot.
It's a third terminal.
Yeah, it's T3.
It's T3. And they are, by not calling it T3, they're abdicating their responsibility to have access to it. If I say I'm booking a flight out of Terminal 2, don't bring me there.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's Terminal 3.
Do not get me involved. Or at least let me know I'm in Terminal 3 before I get there, so I can come a bit early.
But they don't name it, and without naming it, they feel as if they're pulling the wool over all of our eyes.
And we're too experienced for that.
So because of the security thing and the gate being far away, we didn't get to use our lounge access on the way to Frankfurt.
Devastating. One of the only reasons we didn't bring third man Faye with us.
Yeah.
We'll admit
it. Did we tell him that?
No, we'll admit it right here. He didn't come because we had an opportunity to be in the lounge and then we missed out on the lounge.
Yeah. So because we said we can't bring him and be in the lounge because...
We're not bringing him in the lounge.
Yeah.
We'll bring him to a different country, but not the lounge.
Yeah. So that was that. Early morning flight.
We got on the plane, we're in the front seat, me and you beside each other. With a big gap in the middle. Never going to get filled. We didn't have to sit there and fear that someone
guaranteed
would sit there.
Guaranteed.
It was guaranteed empty in the middle. Yeah. Gave us a lot of man-spreading room.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
So, that was fine. Get to Frankfurt. Relatively painless
Yeah, great journey.
All that stuff. Get to the hotel.
Yeah, they were already ready to check us in.
This was like 11 a.m.
11.
And they were just like, yeah, no problem.
Come through.
There might be some background noise, by the way, for anyone. There could be wind, but there also could be the sound of people throwing out pots and pans.
These things happen.
Clearing out an old restaurant kitchen or something.
We might be in a new environment soon.
Yes, big things coming.
Big things coming on the way. Pay attention.
What's this space? Not this space, but there's a different space.
It's a beautiful garden, by the way.
Thank you, just got it renovated.
Just renovated, and it looks great.
This is the first day, I think.
It never used to be like this, people.
That was a terrible garden.
No, it was fine. I had a lot of potential, always has.
But I had not kept it well.
The back garden of my house has the same potential.
Yeah.
So I need to get it done.
I can put you in touch with my guy.
You know, let's talk after the...
we'll talk after, okay.
My mother would be very happy with that.
So anyway, got to Frankfurt, left the bags, checked in, got our day passes for the trams, all the public transport, went into the city.
Yeah. Had to be done.
Immediately started raining.
It was like we were in Dublin.
Yeah, felt very at home. We had breakfast somewhere. I can't remember where we had breakfast.
It was nice. I had a nice like egg sandwich thing. It was good.
Oh, it was in a bakery.
Yeah, bakery.
It was an amazing bakery. But there was... Did you see the wasps on the bread?
Yeah. I've seen that once in Vienna. That's a very common thing.
Yeah. So if you're not from, I guess, around there, that's strange.
You think there's insects in my food?
What's happening?
Why are you not even putting in effort to remove those
insects? Yeah, no one... Because it's all like sweet breads with like all sorts of like...
I think it's just impossible to stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could stop them with some form of door.
But... Yeah, or like a gauze over the... You know, but they didn't care to do that. So, anyway, nice. That was good.
And it looked like it wasn't troubling their business, by the way.
It was a packed bakery.
Yeah, like 20 staff.
Yeah.
Bacon.
We were on our way to a deli.
Yeah.
And then you saw this bakery.
Elaine's Deli, maybe.
Elaine's
Deli.
Or was it Elaine? I think it was Elaine.
Must have been Elaine.
And then you said, look at that bakery.
That's us in Frankfurt, right? So we get our bakery, Jason.
Yeah.
Come on. We were looking for 3M tape after that.
Yeah. 3M tape. The official tape.
After we bought 3M, it was for context, we bought 3M tape. And then we went to put up our table banners that we got from Swasina FC on Instagram. Yeah. And the 3M tape we had on the previous show back in Dublin Comic Con was still sticky enough to fully function.
Yeah.
Such is the amazingness of 3M tape, also a potential Soccer's United sponsor.
I would love to have them sponsor. 3M's a massive company.
Stick with 3M.
They don't just stick with 3M. You never go wrong.
The thing, look at that, easy. Without even rehearsing.
So if 3M or Aer Lingus want to get in touch, but if any hobby company comes near us, we will say no.
No, stay away.
Unless you're a manufacturer of all sorts of industrial and consumer goods or you're Ireland's flagship airline.
We're not getting involved.
We're not getting involved. So anyway, yes, that was good. And we walked around, took shelter from a massive rainstorm in a gallery. And then the show was on Saturday. Cut to show. I guess trade night. There was a trade night on Friday we didn't go.
It was too far away. It was like an hour away from our recommended hotel, which was a bit strange. We ended up, there was a burger as well that took an hour to make. But we won't get into that.
No time.
It's a good burger.
Much like waiting on that burger, it would take too much time.
Yeah. So we had intention to do the podcast on the Friday that we got there in Frankfurt.
That's right.
Then we ended up mingling, as you do, because we're in the recommended hotel, so all the people were there. Mm-hmm. So we ended up mingling with some good friends of ours.
Yeah.
In the hobby community from the UK, by the way.
Paul and Dan.
And that turned, with us, a few beers turned into more beers, and there was no podcast to be done.
And then by the end of the night, everyone had come back from the trade night. Other people had arrived late into the hotel.
And it became a whole thing.
And it became a whole trade night.
I had a minor injury.
You had a medical emergency.
Mini medical emergency that Jason put me in a wheelie chair and rolled me up to my room.
For the mental image for the listener. So you had a medical emergency. Your knee was not in a good state.
Semi-dislocated is how I'll describe it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put pressure on my left leg.
So we had to obviously figure out how we're going to get you from the bar.
Upstairs. Because I figured if I lied down, I might be able to stretch my leg in such a way that I could pop things back into place.
Do some exercises.
A few exercises.
Yeah. So I went over to the reception and I said to them, have you got any crutches?
Mm.
And he said, no. And then he anticipated what I was going to say next. He said, we haven't got any wheelchairs either. Because he obviously had this question many times. And he knew if they ask for crutches and you say no, the next question is wheelchair. So... He said, I'm sorry. He said, you don't need medical assistance. We can call the doctor.
Hmm.
And I said, that won't be necessary.
No, come on. Dr. Flynn in the house.
And then I thought my white coat. I said, that won't be necessary. And then a colleague who was on her way home, she was just packing up. And she overheard this and came over and said, in German, I didn't understand, but the result was, She was saying, I have a rolly chair in my office.
I got a chair with wheels.
With wheels. Maybe he could use that. And then they asked if that would be acceptable to me. I said, okay. And then we did. And for the listener, a mental image of me pulling a rolly chair backward through a German hotel full of a trade night. Yeah. Full lobby, full trade night.
Jason's dragging me. I'm holding my knees, begging him to not make any mistakes because there was a few jolts and jids.
Yeah.
And I was so scared of falling out of the chair and having a bigger medical emergency.
And rolly chairs that aren't wheelchairs, just office rolly chairs, are not designed for off-roading.
Or emergencies.
So not supposed to move fast or over rough terrain.
Yeah, especially not carpet.
No.
So like getting into the lift was quite painful for my leg.
Yeah. Anyway, you were okay by Saturday morning.
I was okay, but thank God I fixed it. Okay by Saturday morning, which was fresh. So again, it was maybe karma because we left Faye at home and we almost had one man manning three tables while one man was in bed with a sore, impossible to stand on knee.
Uh-huh.
But we fixed it. I was in the middle of a deal as well, so it looked like, and we also had a bill to pay, so it looked like we had pulled a big fast one to get out of a deal and get out of a bill. That was not the case. You went down, you handled the bill just to save face. Just so no one could think.
Yeah.
So I joined the boys were there drinking all day, and then they were, oh, my knee!
Very worried about
that. And the two of them had to go, so we had to...
You've heard of the Irish goodbye. This is like the Irish knee.
Yeah, so we had to...
Yeah. Those two lads did the old Irish knee on us last night.
Yeah, bastards. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
So we covered the bill just to save face. And the brand. We had to save the brand.
Yeah. And then...
And of course, no pricing got done at that point because we had intended to do all sorts of pricing, all sorts of good stuff. Podcast pricing, no.
Yes.
We instead wake up. It's showtime.
It's showtime. So we were, people sometimes they say we have a reputation for being late to shows.
That's all.
And it's true.
Is it a reputation of being late or is it a reputation of drinking alcohol the night before the show?
I actually have a problem with this. So, okay, so
let's go. Let's
numerous times people have said to me, you know, about. Drinking about my drinking.
This sounds like you have a problem.
About drinking and shows and stuff, and it's like, and us being Irish and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, I get that, but I can honestly say that we have been late for lots of stuff
without alcohol,
stone cold sober.
True,
it's
we're just sleepy men.
We're sleepy. My ability to drink and my inability to wake up
are not related.
Are not related as far as I see it. Now, somebody might say, you know, alcohol is not just the one, you know, if you're, it can,
yeah,
it you know, affect makes you sleepy.
You're going to be fatigued all week, whether you drink it or not.
And that's, I guess, a scientific question that we're not here to address.
We're not scientists.
But me being late and me having a few pints in the evening with my friend.
There's no correlation.
There's no correlation, and I'd appreciate.
Causation, you know, correlation.
People kind of roll their eye, oh, here we go, yeah. Yeah.
Correlation doesn't mean causation.
Not always. So anyway, Saturday we set up, we have our already sticky banners.
Which saved us a lot of time.
Rolled a banner.
We got into the show without getting lanyards.
Yeah, it felt like we were sneaking into a show that we were...
late to.
Yeah. So it was in a basketball arena.
Yeah. Germans love that.
Suvag Arena, I think.
No, Sport Holland.
It was called the Borg Sport, but the sponsor was Suvag Energy. Suvag Energy, the official German energy company of Stuttgart United. And... We came in like the side entrance, like I guess where the players would come in for a basketball game. We're kind of going through, and it was cool. It was like you saw the back rooms, the press rooms, and all that. And we get out there, no lanyards, found our table, and we set up. The setup left me physically exhausted.
Yeah, that was tough. It's just another thing Faye is great at.
Yeah, but you know what I realized? Because what really hit me was when I laid all stuff out on the table, and then I realized I'd been bent at the waist for the last like 10 minutes. Yeah. And it's when I stood up and I went, oh god.
Yeah, pain.
And he is much lower to the ground.
He's just doing this.
He can do it at
He's unbelievable.
At eye level.
I don't think we're gonna have another three table show without him again.
I don't think so. So if your show has three tables for us, expect to see
three of us.
And we went wax and big load of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show started.
Bundesliga stacks again.
Bundesliga stacks, all your favorite Bundesliga teams. And then the show started and it was busy.
Yeah. Hectic.
A hectic show. Yeah. The Saturday of the show was absolutely packed.
Yeah, I was going, there should be three of us here. It was a bit stressful.
Yeah.
So we didn't get a display case.
Yeah.
Which would have really shortened our three tables in terms of what we had to monitor at all times.
Yeah.
Instead we had cards the whole way across, which is a bit tough.
One thing, So that like the catering at the show,
yeah,
like curry first, so the food was absolutely perfect.
Couldn't improve that.
But one thing that's common with this and the Munich show from last year, obviously different organizers both times, was that the drinks options were served from a bar and not like a shop or a tuck shop or something. Yeah. And so you could only get bar-sized bottles of water.
Mm.
Glass 250 milliliter bottles of water. I want at least a 500 milliliter plastic bottle.
That's what you're like, destroying the environment?
I don't want glass. Or you can give me glass, but it has to be
someone dropped
big.
The glass.
Yeah. Hazard.
Hazards.
But I don't mind glass so much, but you need to give me a bigger bottle of water.
You're a big man.
I'm a big guy.
And you're hungover.
And I'm hungover. which was not related to the time I arrived. And and I saw people with Powerade, and I was like, is there a vending machine?
Where you're getting all this?
Where you're getting all this Powerade? Because more than one people had the same kind of Powerade.
Mm.
So I'm like, I'd love a Powerade. Is there any sort? But because there's only two of us at the table,
it was tough.
I couldn't wander off and find Powerade.
It was very tough to do that.
So what happened on Saturday? We did lots of deals.
Busy, busy, busy. Deals, deals, deals.
Yeah. Merlin Chrome, very, very popular.
Women's Chrome, very popular.
Bundesliga Chrome, popular. Very popular.
Yeah, Bundesliga Chrome, very popular. And we brought, I think, just over a case, and I think we sold out on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Which was upsetting for us, because we could have brought more. Bundesliga Sapphire was moving a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of it.
It was a real...
Musiala Platinum set, very popular.
Oh, massively popular.
Popular at a price. Yeah, one of the only prices I didn't think was the best price from us. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was a bit over... eBay, but I thought eBay, I was surprised when I seen eBay prices. I was like, that's
yeah.
And we went maybe €20 higher than eBay sales, and we sold out rapid.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
That was great.
We sold some Donruss Fat Packs, which was a big win.
Donruss Fat Packs.
When I bought them, I thought they were going to fly, and then they never flew.
Yeah.
And this time we sold them. We had a nice deal on them, which was good. And singles, like Bundesliga singles, they love it.
Yeah, flew out the door.
I had opened a case of Bundesliga Chrome just to have new, fresh singles on the table, and that went down well. People liked it. People bought the stuff. A lot of the Germans were very thankful. But there was times where people were like, would you do, if maybe something was 100, two cards or 40 each, or 50 each. And I'd say, if I take both, can I get 80? And I'd say, yeah, sir, thank you very much. And then a lot of people were kind of like, no, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Because
they're
like, this is for my collection. Thank you for being reasonable, being fair. And it was very like, oh, don't worry about it.
Well, it's interesting, the cultural differences. I'm sure we've talked about this before on the show. But in Germany, I don't know enough to know why this is, if this is specific to a region of Germany. And they might say like, oh yeah, people from Frankfurt are like this, people from Berlin are like, you know, I don't know what the story is. I'm sure it's a massive country.
Yeah.
But in general, in our experience in Munich and Hamburg and now Frankfurt, German customers at our table are much less likely to negotiate prices than people at any other show.
Yeah.
And okay, there's a few things we can talk about why that might be. I have a few theories. One is I think there's an initial factor of us being foreigners.
Okay.
And not German speakers. They all speak English, I know that. But in terms of like...
You don't necessarily negotiate in English.
And I think also they're saying, you've flown here.
They're being respectful.
They don't know us. Okay. So like it's like they don't know enough to know if we're... Because there are some cultures we'd be offended.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So maybe they're like, these are Irish guys. I don't know them or anything about, so I'm not going to even get into it with them, because maybe they're not like, maybe the Germans are great hagglers and just not to us, they think we're not. I don't know. That's one theory.
They might just prefer to haggle in German.
Yeah, they might prefer to haggle in German. And you think it'd be a good thing, and it is a good thing in a lot of cases, because people pay sticker prices that you
sometimes
have room
it's bad.
On. Sometimes it's bad because there are cards
you'd come down on,
and it's like, for me, it's if I'm in the moment, like if I'm fully engaged with the transaction, I'll know to build in my ideal price to the initial offering.
Yeah.
But what happens a lot to me is if we're busy.
Yeah, it's hard to price.
And somebody goes, I'm talking to somebody here, and they go, excuse me, how much is this card? And I go, oh, it's €50.
Yeah.
Because I'm just.
You just need to say a number.
I need to say a number. So off the top of my head, I go, oh, €50. And then they go, okay, thank you. And I'm like, I wanted 40.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have just said 40.
Yeah, sometimes like, that's very expensive. And they put it down. It's like, bring it to where you need it to be.
Whereas in London, even if you're doing a...
even if you're very fair price.
Yeah, and if you're very busy, they'll go like, would you do 20? And then it's like, just wait there for a second. It's like, there's swings and roundabouts. I also tried to negotiate. I won't mention what vendor it was.
Okay, fascinating.
But a vendor... Because I was thinking, right, they're not negotiating with me.
You'll negotiate with them.
I think, yeah. So there was a card for 35.
You poor man.
Euros. A Danish card.
Okay, sorry.
So
wasn't PC. This was
wasn't PC. It was a Danish card for Copenhagen. It's a Jan Moby autograph
for the country of Copenhagen, or for the city of Copenhagen.
For the city of Copenhagen, Danish card.
Okay.
And so it was €35. I went up. I'd seen it in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, if it's still there at the end of the day, I'll make an offer.
You have a lot of leverage.
Yeah. So I went over and I said to the guy, "Will you do 20 on the Moby?" And he went, "Let me have a look." And he walked out. He couldn't remember what price it was. And he saw 35. And he looked up at me and he goes, 20? And I was like, yeah, 20, yeah. And he goes, no. He goes, I do 30. And I said, you do 25. And he goes, And he goes, 28.
Jeez.
And I was like, all right, oh, you put it there. Whatever. But like, it was great. He was like, 20. That's 15 below sticker price.
That's
meanwhile,
price.
At loads of shows we go to, someone's like, 50? I'll give you £8 right now.
Cash.
Yeah, cash, yeah. Would you do 10 cash? Like, come on, that's £40 below asking price.
What are you talking about?
And I'm like, I don't know which the better attitude.
Yeah, who was the wrong? I don't know. What were the comps on it?
The comps were around 25. So, but I thought, I'm going to put a premium on that in Copenhagen. Yeah.
Which is fair, no shipping.
Which is fair, exactly, yeah.
Aer Lingus covered the shipping.
Yeah.
They ship us.
Yes.
Although they don't not to Copenhagen.
No.
Norwegian it'll be.
Well, an other unnamed airline.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies.
This is like, you know, this is like when a player's contract with their boot manufacturer is up and they black out the boots. We can't talk about what airline we use and while we're not using Aer Lingus.
We're just going to appear in Copenhagen.
Airline blackout. How'd you get here, guys? For contractual reasons, I can't say.
Can't explain.
Yeah.
Was it good? Can't tell you.
We're currently in negotiations with many different airlines. What were your thoughts on doing deals in Copenhagen? Or in Frankfurt, sorry, excuse me.
Fun, good, had a great time. Yeah. I did have a great time. There was sometimes, it swings and roundabouts, as you said. There were some people that came up and were a bit difficult to deal with. They were kind of, they were unwilling to kind of move on some of their prices. And at that point, I'm getting a lot better at going, yeah, okay, fair. There's nothing here for us. Sorry about that.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you for coming over. But then there was some people that came up and I felt like we got some really, really, really good deals while also making them happy on the other side. I think we've, maybe not the most, but one of the biggest shows where we've handed out the most money for cards. I think we there was one transaction where we gave 500 and there was one transaction where we gave 300.
Yeah.
And normally we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't be eager to take 300 out of our earning box, whatever, and buy a card. But we did that and I think we might have turned both of those cards over during the extent of the show.
I think so.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
In terms of and you were probably going to get into this, so sorry to cut you in. You're probably sitting there ready to go. There was such a cool selection of cards from the German hobby people.
Oh, amazing stuff.
We were seeing Flawless. We were seeing 2015 Selects.
Yeah.
We were seeing 2014 Gold Prisms, Gold Power Prisms. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
2016 Prisms.
2016 Gold Prism. Yeah, we were seeing stuff that got us excited, got us giddy.
Yeah.
That was really, really fun. People that had just bought this stuff back in 2015. There was one guy, and I have to say it, came up to me with a Pelé 2015 Select, horizontal landscape, field view, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Beautiful card.
Autograph.
I wanted it, number to 49. I wanted it so bad. We did a deal for something else. He got a Beckham off us, and we got some stuff off him. But I'm really sad. He said he'd come back to me, which always happens at these shows. He said he'd come back to me. He said, it's only early in the show. He wants to walk around. He might see something else. He wants more. And da-da-da-da. He said, he'll come back to me. And I've never seen him again.
Ah.
And I'm devastated. Because you know what? He pack-pulled it. Centering was good. Condition looked amazing.
Yeah.
And I really just thought, I looked at the comps were like 940. And I was like, to be honest, I'll have to talk to Jason about this. But I'm not. I wouldn't be against just paying it out, right? Just buying it.
Yeah, it seemed like it should have been a four-figure card anyway,
and it looked like you could 10 worst case scenario 9, and the PSA 9s were doing 940, so you know what, we can get a deal here.
Yeah,
but he never came back, which from now on, if there's a card like that, like the Maradona Copenhagen last year, I'm going to say, give me your Instagram now and I'm going to hassle them.
Right,
where are you?
Yeah,
come back now.
I mean, we've done that also with Pele Autos International. We did that the opposite way.
We'll come
back, and then we didn't get back quick enough, and
that's true.
So it's tough. There's a lot going on at shows.
That's true.
But yeah, I do think something like that, it's almost like, I always find it strange and this goes back to negotiating and stuff like that. When somebody comes up and says, with a Pele O, and says, yeah, it's comps on 940, like, I'd probably do it for comps. That's always, like, you almost, like, freeze for a second. Because you're like, wait, what? You're offering me a good... Like, you don't know what to do with a good deal.
Yeah, what do you do?
Where somebody, if you... You're not warmed up.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody starts from a position of being far away...
Seagulls. I like seagulls. Do you like seagulls?
I really like seagulls.
I love that.
Somebody starts position of far away, it's like, by the time you get to the deal, you feel like, I've done it.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody comes up and goes, here's the deal. And you're kind of thinking, like, why are they offering this to me?
Yeah.
There must be some...
There were some people that were, like, pricing cards at the show. I won't say any names. They were giving crazy valuations to people.
Yeah.
I had, like, four or five people come up to me and say, this person valued it at this. Like, they were doing, they weren't buying them. They weren't offering money. They were just valuing, I think. Like, someone came up to a Trezeguet 101 from Museum, on card autograph, gold frame 101.
Cool.
And he was like, these people over here valued it at 2,500.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hello?
Yeah.
I think his eminence of fives do like 200 euro. So I was just like, that's great. Good luck getting that 2,500, my friend. Shook his hand.
It's not helpful to anyone.
No.
To give those valuations.
Just kind of lie.
Yeah.
Not lie, but you know what I mean? It was uneducated valuations.
Yeah. Well, I think valuations are very easy if you're not in the business of buying cards from people.
That's true. But like if a Pele 2015 autograph is 940.
Yeah.
Then a 2023 Trezeguet is not 2,500.
For sure.
But.
For sure.
Maybe it is the right man.
Well, it only takes one buyer. Someone doing all the 101 gold frame on card autos from Museum. Yeah,
there you go. Just him. Find him and you're good.
Exactly.
But I was.
So Saturday was super busy.
Saturday was amazing. I still, the show finished at 6. It could have finished at 4 or 5.
Maybe yeah, 5 so on show, Saturday. The show started at
10.
10 early access, German entry 11.
5 o'clock would have been a good end.
5 o'clock would have been a good ending.
Especially with a 2-day show.
Yeah.
If you have a 1-day show, you can do the 6.
Like, I understand, obviously, planning a show.
Very difficult.
Very difficult. And the show, by the way, in general, the reviews was a massive success. So congratulations to Max and all the team.
Yeah, Max from German Trading Cards.
It was a phenomenal show.
If he does another show, we will be there 100%. Yeah. Zero hesitation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like...
That's important to state.
Yeah. Overwhelmingly glowing review from us.
And very easy to get to Frankfurt. It was nice.
Frankfurt is super charged hub of Europe. Yeah. Like,
easy to get in.
Easy to get around.
At one point, we went walking around the city. We ended up in what can only be described as a bad area.
Yeah.
We got a bit spooked.
Yeah,
there was
this
one gentleman who thought we were cops that were following us. That was an entire ordeal. He like made a joke to his friend, these guys are cops, and it just so happened for the next 20 minutes we were right behind them.
Yeah.
To a point where he like touched the car and then did like a turnaround, like stared at us, and then like went into a shop and we walked.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
It was like, oh no, we're getting into it with this guy.
This man is ready to fight us.
But Frankfurt is like a great city.
It's a great city.
Great city. One of the great best cities. We love Frankfurt, don't we, folks?
Yeah.
So I definitely be back. And I understand when it comes to organizing a show, you have to book the venue. The venue don't charge by the hour, they charge by the day. So you're saying, I have the day of the weekend booked. I might as well use the full time.
That's fair.
And I get that. And that's, I really have no argument against that, other than to say, I do think chopping a couple of hours here and there creates a sense of, you know, a bit of kind of like artificial scarcity, you know?
Yeah, true.
Reduce the base checklist of the hours.
And then people want more.
Yeah.
Leave them wanting more.
Oh, that's it. It's like, by the time the show is over, it should be like, oh, the show's over. Oh, jeez. It should be mid-flow.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like...
Oh, now it's over.
Yeah.
Which is basically what happened on the Sunday.
On the Sunday that happened, I mean, no one's ever really done it in a half-day Sunday.
No.
And maybe that's because it's difficult to travel on Sundays in a lot of places.
It's difficult to justify half day. And in fairness, Eintracht Frankfurt were playing the same day, which is probably why it was partially dead on the Sunday.
And when the show was booked, the Bundesliga fixtures
weren't out.
Were not out. So
for Frankfurt to have a home game on the Sunday, not ideal, I would say.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. The Sunday gave us an opportunity to kind of walk around a bit more, relax. And we needed to relax after the Saturday night, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like you either do a 1-day show or you tighten that Sunday to a 10 to 4.
Yeah.
Just to... You don't want to see people packing up the table a few hours.
Yeah, I think that, like that.
Because that almost tainted what was an unbelievable show.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's stuff that you learn. And then, I mean, there was a lot of flaws. It was like a lot of things I would tweak if there was a feedback form.
Yeah. A lot of learning.
A lot of learning. But for a first time show, couldn't have been put on much better than it was.
No.
And the arena, I actually really liked it. Just like it was a very good sized basketball arena. You know, it was good.
I liked it. obviously we've seen in shows all the way from the National to London to everywhere, the idea of having stuff running at the show that isn't just walking around. We had that this time. There was live breaks, there were live interviews, there were
like, live presentations.
There were presentations going on in a different room. The audio of that wasn't live, but there were like live interviews running and live breaks running that were being piped in via the PA.
Yeah.
And obviously we've seen other shows. How do you do
that?
How do you do live events at the show while not disrupting the show, but also offering value? It's very, very tough.
And there was times where there was breaks going on and we were trying to have a conversation with someone at the other side of the table and we had to just stop for a few minutes before we could do the conversation
because
someone was shouting about Pokemon.
Yeah.
That wasn't great.
I didn't love that.
I understand the idea behind it and using the PA system and the screens and all that. I get it. But ultimately, there's two things happening and one of them is the main reason anyone's there, which is just a show. Especially if you're recording content, the PA system was in the way of that a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we weren't vlogging this time, but it would have been a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's tough. Because
one end, it's like you're telling people, do that. Then the other end, it's kind of like,
do something. Yeah, like, it's like, you're always saying, like, I feel like we're always saying to people, like, you know, have something, have an X factor to do.
But even like the way they did the raffle or whatever that was,
yeah,
it was very strange. It was like basically a Word doc with a load of numbers. And obviously, we don't speak German, so we were more out of the loop.
Yeah.
It just felt like, don't do that. Put more graphic design into that, but then also, don't do that.
Yeah.
But I get it.
But again, it's like, well, let's do a raffle because we have sponsors and we have attendees that are all going to be happy to win something.
Yeah, it's like, at least in this raffle, compared to some other raffles, like, you could, if you won, you heard that you won.
Yeah. You
know I mean, like, you're not going to miss it. So, yeah, I understand it's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. And we have kind of only kind of questions, no real...
Yeah, we're not actually, we don't know how to do it better.
Yeah, we're not saying it's obvious, you know,
just do
it this way. We're just saying these are all things that we've considered. And,
yeah.
But yeah, Sunday was quite slow. We got to have a look around. We got to have some long conversations with people. Long conversations with people. Our table was like, so it was three big tables in a row and they gave us six chairs.
Yeah.
So we ended up being a bit of a hub for a lot of the non-Germans.
Yeah, in the room.
Yeah.
We had some Spanish, some Cypriots. We had some English.
Yeah.
Of course ourselves, the Irish.
Yeah.
It was a very multinational table.
It was. It was like the. It was actually like what I imagine an Irish pub in Frankfurt is like.
Mm.
You know, it's like even people that aren't Irish just kind of gravitate there because it's kind of an expat's kind of meeting place. And the reason I thought of that was that I met a guy there. I can't remember his name, but he was from Manchester originally, moved to Frankfurt recently, and he was saying that he watches Premier League in this Irish pub. He gave me the name, and I couldn't remember. Anyway, that's great. So. Shout out to everyone that we spent time with, that we saw.
Everyone that reached out, bought a box, bought a card, chatted to us, sold us a card, traded us a card.
We got a couple
traded us a box.
Traded us a box, yeah. I'm trying to think what are the big cards that we got in and out of. Obviously, there's the 2015 Flawless Drogba.
Yeah, 2015 Flawless Didier Drogba. We got into a Jude Bellingham and Mukoku out of 10 Inception booklet.
Yeah.
That we then traded for an impeccable or immaculate David Beckham autograph and an immaculate Erling Haaland autograph, both of which we subsequently sold at the show.
Yeah.
Or traded. The Beckham was traded for, I believe, a 2015 Rooney, 2015 Angel Di Maria autograph, beautiful game, and another autograph that I can't remember. Another cool card. We did a lot.
And
in the end, we ended up with a PSA 10 Inception, PSA 10, autograph 10, Heung-Min Son, of 49 Inception autograph.
Yeah.
Very cool. And of 5 base Heung-Min Son Inception, which is going to sell very well, I think.
Yeah.
A Rooney Lava. And there's a few more. The 2018 Orange Prism Lionel Messi.
Yeah, that was with Andreas, yeah.
Of 65, PSA 9.
So that was the deal that you were doing when your knee went on Friday night.
And Joe, I had taken a photo of that deal prior to that happening. And then we subsequently did a deal. They did what we were going to do that night, I think, was a better deal for us than what we subsequently did.
Right, okay, yeah.
At the show.
Yeah.
But I was happy with both deals.
Yeah, I'll actually put that on our Instagram, that deal today.
We swapped a 2021 Alphonso Davies Sapphire autograph, which is super rare, to the main Alphonso Davies collector who seen it and misinterpreted. He thought it was this year's Chrome Sapphire autograph. He's like, cool. Then I eventually said to him, I was like, that's Bundesliga.
From last year.
And he literally, and this is the guy who has been hunting down all sorts of Alphonso Davies deep in it. And he was like, I had no idea there was autographs in that.
Yes.
I have never seen this. And I was like, it is rare.
Mm.
2021 Bundesliga Sapphire, only 6 autograph cards of any player have been graded from that set with PSA. One of them is our Jude Bellingham of 25.
Yeah.
There was no Alphonse Davies. There's no Haaland, even though they're in the checklist. There was a couple of base dudes. Super, 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 super short print. Very hard to explain that to people.
Yes.
There was some other cards. I literally kind of had to flick through some of the cards today. We got... what was that? I can't remember. We got some
great cards.
Nice cards. Very nice.
And yeah, it was overall we had a great time.
Yeah.
And we flew back, went straight from the venue to the airport. And it was a relatively grand flight.
We got some gold 2016 Prism Irish cards.
Yes.
That was unbelievable. Wes Houlihan and James McCarthy of 10. Beautiful, at a beautiful price. Very respectful. To a super cool guy who had so many gold World Cup Prism cards.
Yeah.
And I literally said to him, he had maybe 40, 50 cards that were all gold or gold power. And I said, how much for all of it? I might buy all of it. And he said, I don't have a price for everything. Mm. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do with that? Get one.
Get one and come back.
I took a photo of all his stuff and I was going to put it through, but I don't know. Now that I'm out with the show, mine, I'm like,
yeah.
He had some really nice ones, like good players.
Yeah.
Like a company and, you know, stuff like that.
Was there a Robin Auto in that deal as well? For the...
Yeah, for the Messi, it was Robin, I think Julian Alvarez, Colour Blast. It was the really cool die-cut, tie-dye Rashford.
Yes,
and it was Messi, 2014 Prism Base, PSA 10. It was a big trade for that
card. Yeah, yeah.
The day before, I mean, the Phil Foden was in the day before, so...
Right.
That would have been a sad loss, but I think, I don't know. Rashford was a weird card, because of its super rarity, but then it's Rashford, and is it good, is it bad? It was
very,
you know.
I'm trying to think, other points of note. F1... We had some F1 boxes and a couple of F1 cards. Very slow interest.
Didn't really... I don't think we had... We had one F1 card sale, I think, all, and no boxes.
Yeah, one to Ryan.
That was 2020. Verstappen.
Yeah, 2020.
And no box interest, which was bizarre, but it happened.
Yeah, I guess so. And then, yeah, the Bundesliga stuff went really well.
Yeah, which was nice.
Everyone was super nice to us.
Yeah. There was a couple of not so nice people. Just a couple.
Was there?
Yeah, a couple of people that kind of disrespected women's cards.
Yeah. That's actually... Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
In general, I found the attitude to women... Okay, so we had like a couple of women's collectors came up. I did a deal. Yeah,
which was great.
With a couple of them for some stuff. But a lot of people... I'll kind of do an impression of people, right? So here's our table. And they come up and they go, women's cards? what are these? What? They couldn't be possibly worth anything.
Yeah.
And it's like... Are you a fucking idiot? Like,
you a gobshite.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, women's cards were probably one of the most successful things at the table. And the boxes.
And are at every show.
You know, but even, especially at this show, it's like, where women's chrome, I was going to take 6 or 10 boxes, and I ends up bringing an extra 10 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And we sold out.
Yeah.
Like, day one, pretty much. And women's knockout was going as well. And, like, we had a lot of women's singles.
Yeah.
And they all did very well.
Yeah.
But, like, someone even came up, you weren't here for this, and there was, like, three of them. And they went, why are these women's cards so overpriced?
Mm.
And I was like, the top one was like a Beth Mead of 5 autograph.
Yeah.
And it was like 200 quid or something. And I was like, that's the price of that one. And then he was going through, because I was thinking, that's just an expensive card. Then he was going through and he found a Puteas to 25 from the Barcelona winner set.
Yeah.
That was up for like 40 euro. And he goes, why is that 40 euro?
Yeah.
And I was like,
because that's the price.
That's Puteas.
I know. Yeah.
She just won the World Cup. She 2-time Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah.
It's off 25. What are you talking about? But it was more so, it wasn't actually, he was a women collector going, you're overpriced. He was just going, these are women's cards.
What are these? Yeah.
Why is a women's card for? And I was like, and him was a friend giggling, and I was just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Go away.
It's weird. Do you know, actually, it reminds me, speaking of Germany, it reminds me, it's basically the exact same thing for Bundesliga. Because people talk about Bundesliga like Bundesliga cards are a joke.
Like, they're preposterous.
Yeah, they go like, Bundesliga chrome, like, who wants that?
Mm.
Germans do.
this is important. Pan to the camera. In all of Europe, the German hobby, apart from the UK, but I actually think it's ahead of the UK, the German hobby is the closest thing to the States.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, it's hard to not assume part of that is down to how many Bundesliga products have been coming out since 2018 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you create this product for this league. A lot of people are like, oh, Bundesliga, that's hard to sell. Oh, I don't, it's boring to open. Da, da, da. But like, that has actually served the German market in such a way that it is huge now.
Yeah.
And they get it. They know about the hobby. They're deep in. Like, if you're looking at Bundesliga products since their inception to now, huge success.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you have Bundesliga paper on the shelf dying or not.
Yeah.
Whether you've opened a box and had a bad time. Whether you've only ever bought a Bundesliga box to get free packs at the National. Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
It has caused a resounding amount of success in Germany.
Yeah.
And in Germany, boxes do sell to Germany.
Yeah.
And singles sell to Germany.
And also just in terms of the German market, The German market is a more developed hobby market than anywhere else in Europe, partially because they're, like, compared to the UK, I would say the German soccer hobby and the UK soccer hobby might be similar in terms of size, but the German hobby is much bigger in terms of NFL cards, yeah. NBA cards, and having that, like, I mean, you go to a German show, NBA, NFL, hockey, and soccer is still the biggest, but you go to a UK show, NFL, NBA, very, very small in terms of representation. So it's much more diverse and mature hobby in Germany. But yeah, whether it be Bundesliga or women's, and what I don't understand is, it's like, how can you be someone, people are so, like, I guess, selective and have, like, selective vision, and how they think of themselves is so funny, because it's like, you are telling me that you spend hundreds of euro collecting little pieces of cardboard with pictures of men on them, but you cannot stretch your imagination. Like, you can't, inconceivable that somebody would do literally the exact same thing you're doing, but with women on them. Or you can imagine doing it for the Premier League, but you cannot imagine anyone buying a Mainz card. It's like, you collect Bournemouth cards. It's the same, it's, you know, exactly, it's like, it's, I don't know. I think it's, people are so, like, tribal.
Yeah.
And they just are always like, that's not me. I'm not that. It's like, you're all one thing.
It's the same.
It's the same.
We're all in this room. Relax.
Yeah. You don't have to.
It's very strange. Yeah, very, it was like, strange. Why say? Your man really was like, as if we were in on it with him.
Yeah. No, but that's another thing.
And
that's
like, what are you talking about?
People.
We do. Do you have any Katie McKay?
Naturally assume. That's what bothers me, actually.
Yeah.
Is that people include me in conversations. Like, and I'm like, I'm not part. I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
Some guy literally came up to us and said, women's football cards, I cannot believe it. I mean, for me, I'm kind of doing like a Jurgen Klopp person, but like, for me, the guys who collect that, they have fully lost control of their lives. I'm like, what did you just say?
Get away from my table, sir. Get away from me. This is filthy.
You're crazy.
You're insane.
Like,
are you okay?
And I'm not saying that everyone has to
participate.
But it's like,
relax.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything.
Yeah, say none.
It's a very basic tenet of polite society.
It's insane.
That was mental.
There's only a couple of bad eggs.
Yes, but you're right. That was basket. A recurring theme.
Yeah.
And is a recurring theme throughout kind of the hobby.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes I feel like, sometimes these are people as well who are always complaining about box prices, always complaining about not being able to sell their cards or buy the cards they want. And it's like, the future is now, old man.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here. Like,
get out of town.
Yeah. Don't bring your bitterness and resentment over to this.
Leave me in peace.
Yeah. So, overall, Frankfurt, brilliant.
Yeah, we're very tired.
Very tired.
We're back again, Copenhagen this weekend.
Yeah, if anyone's going to be in the Nordic Card Show next weekend in Copenhagen, let us know. Come and say hi.
Yeah, tell us all about it.
Other than that, we'll do, I think, another podcast this week.
We'll try to on a Thursday, but we do have a lot of stuff to do prior to then. But I think we should be able to maybe crack it out.
Yeah, we saw on Twitter yesterday that UEFA Finest Flashbacks is coming back.
Yeah, we saw some craziness with card porn, the account.
Yeah, big golden auction finished recently, never got around to.
Yeah.
Champions League, UEFA League, UEFA Europa League groups announced as well.
Confirmed, AC Milan have one of the best groups I've ever seen. I cannot wait.
Evan Ferguson scored a hat-trick against Newcastle at the weekend.
Cancho almost scored a big goal.
Okay, one of those things is important, the other one isn't. we will.
And Chelsea are a great club. People say
Chelsea are a great club, yeah.
Flores, you only got a point against Udine.
Yes, after beating Atalanta.
That's 4 points in the first three games. That's a very steady start.
We're staying up. Hashtag we're staying up.
Don't know if we go that far.
On Jude Bellingham scored another last minute winner for Real Madrid.
And he was very emotional about the Hey Jude song being sung by the Bernabeu faithful.
It's
been a blockbuster. Like, we're back. Football's back.
Football is back.
Football is back.
In
tremendous fashion.
So we've been enjoying that, and we will see you all later in the week
yep.
for another podcast.